My name is Krista Hoke, and on behalf of the Doorways Leadership and Influence Network, welcome. We enjoy talking with people from many different walks of life about how they lead others through their influence and how they influence others through their leadership. We hope you'll enjoy it too. Are you ready? Let's get started.
Welcome to the Doorways Leadership and Influence Network podcast. I'm your host, Rick Shields. I'm so glad you joined us today. I want to remind you, if you have ideas for a podcast, for a topic, or for a guest that we may be able to interview, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me a note at info@doorways.cc, and we'll do what we can to see if we can incorporate that somehow into our podcast. I'm really happy today to have a friend with me, and typically, we've done some recordings via Zoom, but for security purposes, we're not going to do that. We're just sitting in my office at a table, and I'm talking with my friend Jim Smith. I've only known Jim for a short time, a little less than a year, but I've really come to appreciate him. Thanks for being here.
It's great to be here, Rick.
Jim, you've spent like over 30 years in Northern Asia, and in Northern Asia, you were a teacher. Right?
Yeah, I taught architecture, design, theory, and history.
Where did you do your undergraduate work?
Arkansas.
But you're not originally from Arkansas, are you?
Yeah, I am.
Well, you don't have an Arkansas accent.
Well, my parents sent me to elocution school.
There you go. Thank you, Mom and Dad. I really appreciate that. So you're teaching architecture there. Over the years, how many students do you think you had an opportunity to teach over those 30 years?
Oh, gracious thousands.
Isn't that incredible?
So my lecture classes were large. Design classes were 12 to 15.
So when you're talking large, semester. How large are these lectures?
From 100 to 1500.
Oh my word. That's huge.
Yeah. So it's university lecture classes.
But 1500 students in a lecture class.
Yeah, pretty intimidating.
That is pretty intimidating. You're like the rock star conference speaker. They're all listening to you. It's hanging on every word.
As I say, I can put anybody to sleep.
Well, I like to talk here on the podcast about leadership and influence. And I have to say, for a guy who has taught thousands of students up to 1,500 at a time, wow, what opportunities you've had. So when you talk about leadership and influence for a group like that, what does that mean to you? What does it look like?
The problem is I don't really see myself as a leader. So in those situations, I try to do my best to give the information in a way that they'll understand, that they can comprehend it and put it into practice. The problem is, like you said, you can really. I have put an entire class to sleep before,
but not 1,500 people.
No, it was a class of about 100.
Even at that rate, wow!
And I put them to sleep, and when the last guy's eyes closed, I lowered my voice very slowly and packed up all my things and left. So
and they stayed there and slept.
They were asleep. I've always wondered what happened when I woke up.
Pretty funny.
But I learned to break up my information into little bits that were like a long soundbite, 7 to 10 minutes worth of information, so that they could grab onto that. And then a finite number of those kinds of bits of information that I felt were key to concepts, and then to give them background of those concepts so that they would be able to take them and apply them in whatever situation they found themselves.
Were these typical 101 level courses, or were they higher division courses?
I've taught very small groups, 8 to 20 people.
So it'd be upper division.
Yeah. I mean, I've taught that level, and I've taught lecture classes to undergrads. It's all the same kind of theory of communication and of getting them to do what I see as important. We were talking about space, they're talking about architectural space, to give them an idea, a concept. of how space is organized, and then give them different kinds of projects so that that kind of information can be translated into their practice.
So we're talking about space. Was there any cross-cultural concepts there that got kind of confused?
Oh, constantly. Because where I was working, there are some very different cultural concepts. And cultural concepts are socio-religious stuff that right. in our background that we don't see. So that influence us. We as in America have that, and we have to be able to see through these different filters and see where we're, you know, what we're looking at.
Right.
I mean, we have to interpret it. And they do the same thing if we're talking across culturally. So to bring those concepts to the from my culture to their culture can be kind of tricky.
Yeah.
You know, getting them to because I had to study their culture enough to understand how those fit together. What I started doing toward the end, I was teaching fourth year architecture, which is basically you can design a building, a basic building, but you have to understand how it plugs into the systems of a city
right.
or the systems that exist.
Right.
So there's some places where you have freedom to express creativity and some places where you don't. So in every part of our lives, we have those same kind of constraints. If we understand where the hard constraints are, then we can also understand where the freedom lies.
Mm, sure.
And to be able to delineate...
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
To delineate, this does not have any freedom. You know, when you're hooking up electricity, there's no freedom there. You've got to have somebody that understands that system and can bring that system into your building without burning it down. So if you understand where that creativity is, you can be very creative in that small part. And I think that's what I try to do in my whole life is try to do all the things that are required, get all the requirements out of the way so that serious requirements.
Sure.
You can't live without it.
Hard steps.
Hard steps. If you get those taken care of, nobody cares what you do in the last 3 or 4%. And,
yeah.
And that last 3 or 4% makes all the difference.
Yeah.
Most people try to make the 3 or 4% to be 90%. And then they get
frustrated.
Well, they can't. Complete the design. They can't complete the life. They can't complete the goal because
sure.
they haven't understood the restraints.
So you don't see yourself as a leader?
No.
Why not?
I think it goes along with my view of success and failure. So I don't believe that I'm a success and I don't believe I'm a failure. I believe that I have successes and I believe I have failures, but they're at the extremes of my life. I live sort of in the middle.
Sure.
And if I do something well, I feel good momentarily, but it's just a moment in history. Then really it's not even history. It's just there.
Yeah.
And if I fail, there are consequences to both success and failure, but my mind is in the middle. I just want to continue.
Yeah.
And I don't want to run too fast. I don't want to run too slow. I just want to keep going.
Sure.
And so leadership, I try to affect people. I try to influence people. But whether I do or not, I'm not able to judge that effectively.
Yeah.
I look at my architecture students' designs, and I see myself written in those designs. That pleases me. But is that a success? I don't know.
What's influence?
It's influence. It's influence.
Which we think... Leadership is influence.
Influence
is leadership.
It's leadership. So I see in the people that I know that their ideas shift, but it doesn't mean that I'm necessarily a leader. I'm just led for a moment.
Well, you led in a way, not
it's
with a whim.
Yeah, it's a continuum. It's
sure.
it's a floating thing.
Yeah.
So I don't consider myself to be in a position of leadership.
But you do consider yourself an influencer.
I hope to be.
Which, again, our premise is that influence is an expression of healthy leadership. Leadership is best measured by its influence. And so if you are really, truly an effective influencer, the reality is it's leadership from another perspective.
From another perspective. So I don't have an office of leader.
How do you help others to grow in their leadership or in their influence? Because I know how you feel about it for yourself, but do you ever take an active role in helping others understand about leadership or consider influence?
Just by having a relationship with them. So if I can build a relationship and influence the way they think, then whatever comes out of it is my influence.
So kind of like, you know, consider those who taught you in the past.
That's right.
Paul talks about consider their way of life.
That's right.
And follow after that.
Right.
And so if people say, this guy helped me without pushing me, he brought out from me these ideas or these concepts,
right,
helped me understand them, put them into place, then they can look back and say, he really did have an influence on my life.
Yeah.
And not even have to look at you and say, oh, he was a great leader.
Right.
He was a great influencer.
And in the cultures that I've been in, I couldn't be a leader. I don't know if that makes any sense or not. I couldn't be a name that people put on something or it wouldn't get done. It had to be a local person that would do that, to put their name on it.
Yeah.
And so it was much more effective for me to simply have a relationship with those people so that with the people who were going to be acting and making decisions, much more effective for me simply to be their friend and to say, oh, have you thought about this?
So then can you look back and say, look, there is someone who I influenced and look what they've done. Are there those that you can see that?
There are those that I can see. That's what I'm saying is I can see. I look at my students. I look at people that I know, and I see my ideas in there, or the ideas that have come through me.
How does that feel? Their work.
It feels great. It feels great, but it's a, you know, feelings are fleeting. So
we go from this feeling to the next feeling.
To the next feeling.
And it's hard to get back to that original feeling.
I also see, so to speak, my failures. You know, I see my actions, my influence to people who have not made it, you know, who have not. And so it's like, well, I don't want to do that again.
But do you see that as your failure or their failure?
Yeah.
Or is their failure yours?
Exactly. So if I take the role of this is my influence, you know, that it's my personal influence, it can be crushing. Because I can, in one sense, I can be elevated far beyond what I think I should be, and in the other, I can be crushed far more than I can survive with.
But you're not their sole influence.
No, I'm not.
You're one of many.
I'm one of many.
I don't see you carrying around the big burden of they failed and now I am a horrible failure.
Yeah, well, that creeps in the middle of the night.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
What advice would you give to those who may feel like failure is just knocking at the door and the other shoe is ready to drop? What kind of advice would you give to people who feel that way?
You know, I don't really like the idea of most tattoos, but there is one tattoo that I like the idea of. And it's a semicolon, and it means that the sentence is not over yet. That you think it's over, but it's not. And you need to remember that as long as there is breath, there is hope. And you continue because the sentence isn't over yet. Mm. And we're not the ones writing that sentence. There is a power that is far beyond us that writes that sentence. And if you think that you are a failure today, you might be wrong because that sentence isn't over yet.
You know, we believe that Jesus has opportunities for us we've not yet discovered, we've not yet encountered, and that he takes all of our past successes and failures,
Yeah.
Puts them together and still provides opportunities going forward.
That's right.
For us to be successors or successful for the kingdom.
That's right.
Speaking about successful for the kingdom, now after 30 years in Northern Asia, you're getting ready to relocate.
Well, we're at this point, we're getting older, and so we're looking for a group of people that we can go to and with in an easier way. So we're going to relocate to Madrid, Spain, and continue working with the same people, different location. We don't think that we can go back into the same situation that we've lived in for these 30 years, that we have to find a way to extend our influence to people that where it's not so physically demanding.
So you've been teaching architecture. Will you still continue to teach architecture, or are you going to be looking at a different way of working with people?
Yeah, that's yet to be seen. Probably a different way of influencing people.
Yeah.
But it'll still be, I think it'll still be with smaller groups. I think there'll be some lecture opportunities, but I think most of it's going to be with smaller groups.
And who are the people you're targeting?
The same Northern Asians that we were dealing with before.
And they're going to be in Spain?
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Really? Why?
Yeah. They are, most of them are looking for hope and for more personal freedom. And monetary gain. So they go places trying to do that.
So it's
a Northern Asia diaspora, what we're calling this group of people, but they're everywhere. And I think it's not, I was talking to someone yesterday who their intention was to deal with Northern Asia diaspora, but they're now dealing with Southern Asia diaspora. And I think the diaspora part is probably the key word there. Wherever they come from, these people have fled something. They have left everything and are fairly isolated. And so they're looking for hope, looking for someone to help them maneuver through their life.
You're going to be really involved in some type of ministry.
Probably.
And are you going to be, you know, trying to get these people plugged into to churches, or are you, what do you think you're going to do with these people?
Yeah, that's a really good question. At this point, I don't know what the situation is that we're going into.
Yeah.
So we're, it's going to take us time to even understand the situation of the
sure.
people themselves.
Yeah.
So that's all kind of, because they are a diaspora group, there's a lot of information that's not found online.
Yeah.
So it's hard to tell.
How are we going to know if you're successful?
Oh, well, and, you know, one of these days we're going to face somebody. He's going to say, well done, or he's going to say, get out of here. Okay. So when he says, well done, you'll know.
So you're not really looking, you're still not looking for success, are you?
I am not. I'm looking to run.
Run the race, finish the race, be faithful.
That's it. And the highlights and the lowlights, they happen. But I'm just running.
I hope you enjoyed our podcast, and I hope that you'll join us on future episodes. Please follow us or subscribe so you can be notified when new podcasts are released. Until next time, this is Rick Shields, and on behalf of the Doorways Leadership and Influence Network, this is my prayer for you. May you have rest when you need it, strength when you want it, and joy when you least expect it. Until next time, may the Lord bless you as you follow after Him. Thanks for listening.